Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 50 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, and her life. Well, today we're going to be talking about what? We're talking about Botox. That's right, man. The guys are getting this stuff. A little Botox for the bros. Oh my goodness gracious. Before we dive into this little hot topic, I just want to let you know this episode of Her is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They are delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, please go over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder, hop on over to iTunes after our episode, rate this podcast, and leave a nice little review. Remember, I read these things, and I really welcome your thoughts. Okay, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life.
It's all about Her.
Botox and cosmetic surgery for men. Well, the only person I'm going to talk to about this is our go-to expert on all things plastic surgery and good things like that. It's Dr. Robert Singer. He's been engaged in private practice in La Jolla, San Diego since 1976. Yeah, he's been around the block and knows it all. And is now an internationally recognized plastic surgeon. Throughout his career, he's authored many scientific publications on all kinds of aspects of reconstruction and aesthetic plastic surgery. And today we give him the big challenge. Dr. Singer, what the heck is Botox?
Well, Botox is essentially the injection of what's called a neuromodulator, which works on the muscles that cause frown lines. There are a variety of different products. It's like Pepsi-Cola, Coca-Cola, they have a lot of similarities. There's Botox, there's Dysport, Xeomin, and they work over a few days that to diminish the pull of the muscle so the frown lines or the crow's feet lines or the horizontal lines of the forehead are diminished. Generally lasts 3 or 4 months, variable from patient to patient, but Botox is essentially using that in males. We're seeing more and more males come in for both non-surgical procedures like this for cosmetic medicine, as well as for surgical procedures.
Well, I actually saw a statistic that said that the procedures for men, this was actually from the American Society for Aesthetic Plastic Surgery, recent studies showed that procedures for men were up 63% between 2010 and 2015. Whoa, why are these guys running to you?
Well, it's not only men, it's increased tremendously. It's also females who come in. But men come in for the same reasons that females come in. Their self-image, they want to look better. And when I say they want to look better, they want to look fresher. They want to look natural. They generally don't want to look different. So it's self-image. They want to appear fresher looking. They want to be more sexually attractive. And they want to be more vital in their career in the job market. I think it's been well shown, not in just in the plastic surgery literature, but in psychology and sociology literature, that if two individuals equally qualified go in for a job, generally the more attractive one will end up getting that job, and often at a little higher salary. So patients don't want to necessarily look dramatically different. They want to look better. They want to look more vibrant. They want to look fresher. They don't want to look as concerned. And Botox can achieve that in many patients. And it's been shown that if you start at a younger age with that, it avoids the progression of those deep lines. What we don't want is that frozen look. Nothing moves. It looks artificial. You walk in a room when somebody comes in, you want your brows to raise a little bit. You want to have normal, friendly expression on your face. So you don't want an expressionless face. That's either poorly done or overdone or injected the wrong amount in the wrong places. So it should look
well. You know,
fresh.
There's something
it just
interesting. Well, yeah, and there's also another trend going on here. I think that's sort of feeding into this. A lot of millennial men are getting married later in life. They're not doing the 20-year-old thing. They're doing it, you know, millennial. I mean, they're in their 30s, et cetera, maybe later than that, maybe pushing 40. And so what's happening here is since they're getting married later in life, having their wedding photos splashed all over social media, it makes sense that they may want to put a little bit more added effort into looking their best, right?
Well, social media has changed everything in our lives. And it's also changed how people communicate, and it's changed with selfies, with Instagram. And those photos that go out, they want to look fresher. They want to look better. They want to put essentially their best foot forward and look as good as they can look. And that's a phenomenon that we're seeing not only from females, but also males. Those photo albums are forever, and they want to look as good as they can in those photos.
Cool. All right. So there are a couple choice. Well, actually, there are a number of choices, I guess, out there. What's the difference, you know, when a man or a woman comes to see you you know, you're thinking about a neuromodulator, what would be best for them, Botox or Dysport? Tell us the difference.
Well, it depends who you listen to for the difference. If you listen to the manufacturers, there's a lot of difference. But in control studies, they're fairly similar. There are some studies that show for the crow's feet, Dysport may be a little bit better. There are some who think that Xeomin acts a little bit faster, but it doesn't last as long. Patients want things to last longer. I think we're going to see newer agents like that in the future. There's even some discussion about a non-injectable topical which can achieve that. Right now, that's more theoretical than it is reality of it being effective. There are also individuals who come in who, when they look at those deep frown lines and thinking about Botox or Dysport, if they're etched very deeply, sometimes the combination of that plus a filler, which plumps the depressed area, gives a better result than either one alone. So we're seeing more men and far, far more women, and you see that not only in the States but internationally, who are coming in for fillers, like the hyaluronics, which are the building block of your own tissue. They last, depending on which type and where you put it, 6 months to a year, or in some areas, there are some that are chemically a little bit different. They last a little longer, but that's for deeper areas like over the cheekbones. So we're seeing males also coming in wanting more of that than in the past. Each of these things do different things. You can't get the same result if you need a Botox versus a filler. They do different things. Sometimes they're additive. Sometimes the patient will benefit from one and not the other. There are a lot of non-surgical techniques and devices and procedures that we're seeing both men and women coming in for. Men increasingly are coming in because their significant others or their girlfriends or their wives are getting skin care. They look more vibrant. They say, oh, she looks great. I think I should look fresher too. And often their spouses or significant others are suggesting, oh, you know, this is terrific. Why don't you go in? Why don't you consider doing this? Because you're out in the sun. You get a lot of exposure to the elements. Your skin needs a little freshening. So we're seeing them come in for that also. But I think our audience and everybody has to understand that you can get nice improvement with these things if you continue them in the hands of an appropriate trained board-certified plastic surgeon or dermatologist and seeing an esthetician in a medical office who can provide good skin care. All of those things are helpful, but realizing that somebody who really will need surgery, non-surgical techniques have a role, but they don't replace surgery in the appropriate patient who will benefit that. Many procedures are terrific. We do them all the time, but many procedures produce many results. So it depends on the need and what the patient's anatomy is, what their goals are, how realistic they are about things, what's their downtime. All of those things need to be factored in. So it's important that patients go to see someone who has all of the available tools and can then individualize the procedure for their specific needs. If you go to somebody who just has a Botox available or a filler available, that's all they have. That's all they're going to be using, and that's not appropriate for every patient.
Interesting. Well, you know, you brought up something too. Getting to it earlier is better so that you don't, you know, get the deep grooves and the rest of it. When's too early?
Well, you know, everybody ages differently. The appropriate time to do something is when it bothers you and there can be a reasonable improvement. Doing it before there's going to be an improvement makes no sense. If you don't have significant aging, there's no reason to do that. And it has to concern you enough that you want to do something. Although I do these procedures frequently, I'm not an evangelist about surgical procedures or plastic surgery. I think that it's not everybody needs them. Good surgeons don't sell surgery. They go through the options of patients, and they'll say no to some patients. But it's nice that patients now have the option for doing these things. But again, if it doesn't bother you, you don't do those things.
Yeah, I just worry about so many of the kids, you know, who are looking at social media and saying to themselves, maybe I could be so much more perfect if, and then fill in the blank. If I was filled out a little bit here, and, you know, if I didn't have this line or that line. And, you know, I know that people like yourself, who are very, very experienced in the field, would have a conversation with a very young person, 16 years old, 17, 18.
16, really... 17, 18. That's too early to do those things. And
yeah.
as you indicated, good ethical plastic surgeons will discuss at the consultation with the patient. And if it's inappropriate, they'll say, this is not in your best interest. I don't think you should do this. I'll tell patients no. I'll tell them, you know, you may want to come back in a couple years. We can talk about those things. But right now, that's not going to help you. Now, some of those patients will try to find somebody who will still treat them. You know, that's it. That's for the benefit of the bottom line of that physician, but it's not in the benefit of that patient. Our goal should always be what's in the best interest of the patient. Don't do any harm. Take care of the patients as you would a member of your family or staff.
Yeah, I know. And that's why I pray to heaven, you know, there were more people like you out there, because sometimes I wonder, you know, I mean, people cave to someone's what appears to be a big time body image issue. And all it does is, you know, feed the fire, because that person really needs a psychologist more than a plastic surgeon. And I know that you know, it's interesting, the DNA of being a plastic surgeon also involves a boatload of psychology. I mean, all of us as physicians have to do that outside of pathologists, but, you know, especially in your field, there's got to be a lot of sitting down and really looking someone directly in the eye and saying, let's really talk about expectations. Let's talk about what this journey is about and why you're actually here today. I bet you spend a boatload of your time doing that.
Yeah, what you just pointed out is absolutely critical. That's why many of us, including myself, I personally see the patient in consultation. You know, I don't have an ancillary person doing that. I do my own fillers and injectables, although in many offices there are good, experienced physician extenders or nurses who have been trained to do that. I prefer doing that so I can discuss what's realistic, what's not, what's your motivation. If patient is doing that to please someone else, that I wouldn't accept that patient. They have to understand what the limitations of any procedure, and they're many patients look and they see some asymmetries. Even supermodels have asymmetries. It's the overall balance and the harmony. Nobody is identical from side to side, and patients have to realize that. And things like Botox and fillers Everybody reacts and heals a little bit differently. Overall, the safety record of those are phenomenal. There are some patients who shouldn't be having those. Individuals, not men now, what we're talking about, but women who are pregnant and breastfeeding. Those type of individuals, those who are too young, shouldn't be having those procedures. So evaluating the patient, what do you expect to achieve from it? Why do you want this done? Are you doing this for yourself? What do you expect will be the gain? And do you understand that there may be a little downtime? You may get a little bruising. You should be off of aspirin and multivitamins and supplements and fish oils and things like that, which are all great for you. But before you have an injection, you should be off of those because that diminishes the amount of bruising that you may get. And most patients don't get bruising. Most patients have an excellent response to it and can go about all of their activities like the next day. We don't want them exercising the day they have that. But there are some patients who may get a little more bruising, and some patients it will take a little longer for those things to act. Fillers you see right away, Botox, Dysport, take several days to work.
Excellent. You know, I just think that people need to think this out. I think that they see so much craziness going on TV and the media, and their expectations are wildly out of play. Just to sit down, take a deep breath. Now, switching the channel here just a tad. So I think the trend now, correct me if I'm wrong, is such a much greater acceptance of utilizing the wonderful services of a board certified plastic surgeon, both for the injectables as well as more. I think that people are now wrapping their heads around the fact that it's not, and I quote, cheating, and that if anything, it pretty much, you know, done well and appropriately with correct expectations, can really augment someone's aging process and help them with whatever they're doing one way or the other. So I think that that's a very positive thing. Going back to the guy thing for a second, you know, I don't know. You know, I, for the longest time, you know, women were going and getting a lot of the plastic surgery and back and forth for, and also injectables for the usual reasons. And it was, and I quote, okay for a guy to have wrinkles because it was manly looking, you know? And you looked, and it was all right. And men were given a pass on that one. It was like, you know, they looked stately and regal, you know, with those wrinkles. And we could look at actors over the years who've had that and apparently haven't had much of anything else done. So now there seems to be a change of sort of perception, maybe a cultural change. What do you think about that?
Well, I think you've hit on a number of reasons. One, there's greater awareness of the options. There's a lot more media coverage about it. A lot of these procedures are far more affordable, and there's far greater public acceptance of these procedures, both the surgical and non-surgical. You go out to almost any social function or restaurant, you hear somebody talking about these things. So people are much more aware of it. And because the procedures have gotten simpler with better recoveries and more options, that's another reason we're seeing people come in for those. We also live in a society, whether it's right or wrong, that's very visual and youth-oriented. And what you see as icons that are put up in the media of appearance are very young. And so more and more people try to achieve that and feel, and they look in the mirror and they say, well, what I'm seeing, I'm starting to see my mother, I'm starting to see my father. And they want to feel that when they look in the mirror, the person they're seeing is as youthful as the person they feel like they are inside. They're more oriented towards fitness. They want to look as good at the gym because they're working out and they're toning. They want to look good there as well as when they're going to work or at a function. So all of these things play in a role why we're seeing people coming in for more things. It's more natural results. And the options can now you can achieve things that you couldn't achieve except with more major procedures in the past. A caution about one aspect, and you were bringing up, you know, individuals who are in the media. I think a danger when I see a patient come in and they're coming in and they have a photo of someone and they say, oh, I would like to look like this. I want this nose or I want this chin. Well, that may be great on that person, but it may not be good on that patient. Patients should try to look as good as they can, but you need harmony and balance on their face, or their body. They shouldn't try to look like someone else because ultimately that's not achievable. When we look at patients, although it's the physical aspect we're changing, but by far the greater aspect of what we're changing is the mental aspect. It's the change in their personality, how they visualize themselves. So it's really surgery almost on the brain, not just on the physical aspect of the nose or a chin or the eyelids. And people have to realize
that. I just think that what you're saying is so spot on. Also, you know, as someone who is in the media a boatload, I find that, you know, one of the first things you've got to understand is that pictures, photos, really distort things in a big way. You don't know what reality truly looks like, you know, from many of these photos. And, you know, it's a funny thing. Some people look, you know, okay, but amazing, you know, on camera. Other people look amazing in reality. And for some reason, as we say in the media business, the camera doesn't like them. And so when you grab a photo, and this goes for everything from, you know, hairstyles on down to the skin, you really can't translate that. And as a plastic surgeon, I know it must be very frustrating to tell someone, you know, this is real different than saying, here's a coat, right? And the coat looks just one way. I mean, there's a coat, right? It may look better on somebody else or back and forth, but it's a coat. But when it comes to a face, it's a whole different ball game. That's why I go back and I rant and rave and harp on this one thing: expectations.
It's all about expectations. You know,
all about it.
Oh, when somebody comes in and they'll bring me a cover of a magazine, whether it's, you know, a terrific magazine like New Beauty that has a lot of good information in it, or some of the other magazines, and they'll say, oh, well, look at this. You know, I'd love to look like that. Well, they don't understand. First of all, it's been photoshopped tremendously. There's $10,000 worth of lighting for that photo shoot. You have makeup artists. They've just had their hair done in a certain way. And in real life, they don't look like that.
That's right. And what you really see, which I find quite fascinating, is that one of the biggest selling points of a lot of magazine rags and onlines out there is the caught that starlet, you know, going to the grocery store without makeup and whatever. And she, you know, many of these people don't even look like, you know, what they appear to be on camera with, you know, all the rest of it. I actually just posted one of my most favorite Facebooks. I revisit this every now and then because of something that just happened in the news. And that was a picture of Jamie Lee Curtis, the actress, in 2002, when she was in her 40s, and she's a mother of three children, all the rest of it, and she called up More Magazine, which is a magazine for women 40 and over, and she said, I got a really cool idea. I want you to film me in just my regular undies, right? And then I want you to film me after you've gussied me up for the usual, you know, glossy, glam, you know, kind of look. And they did that, and it absolutely captured audiences right and left. Their jaws hit the floor because she kind of looked like a normal person. You know, she's got a little extra something, you know, leaking over her, you know, panties, and you know, truth be told, her thighs are starting to thicken up a little bit and back and forth. I mean, she looks great otherwise, but you know, this was no perfect body. And then you flip over to the picture and she was laughing. And in the interview, she said it took 3 hours and 13 people to be able to make her look like that. So reality check, everyone, unless you've got like an entourage out there, it ain't going to happen. You know, just get real and be happy and, you know, age well and use someone like Dr. Singer, you know, as a board certified plastic surgeon to be able to help support and augment as you go along. And as you love to say, stay fresh. How does that sound?
Sounds perfect. And it's a matter of looking fresh. It's a matter of looking vibrant. Though the things we're talking about are essential in patients making them look fresher, but making them look healthier. That's what you want. You don't want distortion.
And fit and glowing and just basically filled with life. I just love this. Well, you know, this has been an incredible segment. I just love it. We've been talking about Botox and cosmetic surgery, not just for men, but also women, too. We kind of got it all in there. And once again, our go-to expert is Dr. Robert Singer, board certified in plastic surgery. Robert, thank you so much again for being on the Herb Podcast.
My pleasure. It's great that we can educate the public about what's real and what's not.
You got that right. All right. Remember to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please take about, 30 seconds and rate and review this podcast because we want to hear from you. That's why. Listen. It's important because we need your feedback and we love to read your reviews as well. All right. Thanks a lot in advance. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD. And you can also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening and stay well.